KSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
You're listening to Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoff. Thanks for tuning in. This is edition 302. And on the broadcast this week, I'm going to be sharing a conversation with composer and musician William Ryan Furch. It was really a pleasure to speak with William about his work, particularly in documentary cinema. As an artist based in California, I think he has done magnificent work, of course, musically, but also at the intersections of documentary film storytelling and musical work. Of course, music plays a central role in depicting the emotive and political landscape of documentary cinema. And in a time of great political upheaval, I think it can be meaningful to unpack the various elements that go into documentary cinema, including music. William is a conscious and thoughtful artist, and I think offers a lot of insight into the role of musicians in approaching a very critical medium today, documentary cinema. So here's my conversation today with William Ryan Furch for Free City Radio.
My name's William Ryan Furch, and as you mentioned, I do work primarily in music for films, especially documentary films, most of which deal with geopolitical, social issues, and that is a huge part of what kind of feeds the curiosity about different landscapes and kind of helps cultivate curiosity that leads me into a lot of different rabbit holes of kinds of music, influences of music, that it does become really reflective of an imagined space, you know, because I am for the most part working in my studio here in the Northern Bay area of California, and so just 500 feet out my backyard, you know, I'm spending most of my days inserted or imported into these different worlds, films, you know, made all around the world. And that's a wonderful impetus for me making my non-commissioned work, creating albums, of just being flooded with all these different ideas, and that carries me into stuff that you just can't fit into a film or fit into so often for film music. It's these short, tight little containers of, you know, 2 minutes or less that a cue gets to make, and it's not really ample space to to do all the ideas that these films and these stories feed into.
This is an opportunity to think about the emotional impact of music and film, which I think is huge. I mean, just looking on your page briefly, WilliamRyanFurch.com, you can just see the magnitude of, just in terms of numbers, of the different films that you've created music for. It's obviously super important. I mean, within dramatic films, we know its role. But in the last two decades, there's been this rise in documentary film and its role also in shaping political and social conversations and participating in debates. I'm sure you're thinking of all that when you're sort of creating for documentary. Can you just talk a bit about kind of how this has become a focus of your work, and like, how do you interact with these stories when you're, you know, working on a film, you know, whether it's about refugees, you know, who are, you know, struggling to find a safe place. I know you worked on some projects about the refugee experience, you know, and I've also noticed how diverse the work is. Maybe just talk about your reflections on the role of music and documentary film.
You know, I've gotten into music for film really kind of strictly in narrative films initially. But when I moved to the Bay Area, the first contact I made in the area was with John Else, who had started the School of Journalism at University of California, Berkeley. And he is kind of a giant of this form of verite filmmaking in the U.S. And the numbers of filmmakers, Pete Nix, who had done The Waiting Room, The Force, who's been, you know, a very dear friend and incredibly influential filmmaker in my life, Megan Mylan, who's made just so many tremendous films, often looking at, you know, these filmmakers putting, not just extracting stories or making poverty porn or just this kind of sensationalized, you know, look, it's like going into communities and places that where there really needs to be exposure for the struggle or the injustices that are affecting a region, and, you know, the realization of that this is just a tiny, that you are a visitor in this world and what you can share of the story is but a tiny little window, but how you hold that little bit of access, the responsibility that you have to the people that have entrusted you to tell these stories, people that take that onus upon themselves to carry that like a little candle against a windstorm. You know, you have to protect the integrity of the trust and the experience of the people that you're helping document their story. And it was just completely life-changing for me to be exposed to this kind of journalistic integrity, people that they just so effortlessly slot into a position of humility, of that to make a good film, to tell even a small story well, takes an amount of surrender that is significant. And you don't just stop caring about the people that you're documenting after the film is done. This is a, when you are in the trenches and you get exposed to these stories, these injustices, whatever the film is about, you carry these people in your heart. And I'm just, you know, working in music, oftentimes I'm with a film for just the last 2 to 3 months of its production. And oftentimes my role, in addition to helping to make a sonic language that feels like it's an honest representation of both the environmental experience, but the POV, the internal experience, like understanding what makes everyone tick in the film, you know, like really trying to not just like empathize, but like just watch so many extra hours of B-roll, or just like to, what can you do to submerge yourself into this experience? But in addition to just making the music work, it's like I feel like the energy and the curiosity that you come in a post-production phase for a film is so vital, because it has to serve as a catalyst for people that have sometimes lived with these films for over a decade, that, you know, with often very, very little, you know, money, people just like risking everything to make these films and tell these stories because it feels so vital to share. That I have to come in with a curiosity and a degree of circumspection of that I've not been in close proximity with this story. It's new to me, and I'm about to embark on a journey of watching this and digesting it for hundreds of thousands of hours. So I have to be an injection of joy and curiosity for the film. And that, it's so different from working in fiction film, where you have a script way ahead of time. You've got stills, you have just to, for a film to be made in a fiction space, it takes so much more, you know, I could score many films that I've done that are narrative, before even seeing any picture, because you really do have an idea of the cadence of how things are going to go. With a documentary, you know, you are dealing with little small micro wrangled units of chaos, and the way that people they communicate on film, you know, you can have such wide variance. People that really just, they put a camera in front of them and they come alive, and it's like, you know, all of a sudden it's like it's accessing a part of their ego that is not accessible in daily life. And then some people who just, it has to be slowly teased out because they're so aware of the presence of the camera. You feel all of this variance, and so it's not a tidy written script of that, you know, that this point of an idea being crystallized is going to come on this beat. Things are run on sentences, and so the music is such, I love it because the shape of the music that you end up composing for it has this irregularity baked into it. Things that meter and ways of writing. You can't just like have everything be these perfectly square units at one tempo fits everything, because you're working with little microcosms of slices of reality. And even the most skillful editors, you're working with this dance of compromise. And I love that. And I love that challenge musically. I've always been a musician that I never recorded to a click. You know, I came up making music in an age of having, if I wanted to multi-track or do anything, I learned to record on my dad's old four-track reel-to-reels. So bouncing things down, and these are just two tracks. So if I wanted to make four tracks, I'd have to sum everything down, bounce, splice tape, do all, it's like, so I'm really comfortable working in things being just by feel, listening for the little, like, and leaning into the glitches and leaning into the accidents, because you're working with a super finite thing, so.
That sensitivity, I think, also speaks to a sort of interest in these stories. I mean, a lot of the documentaries that you're engaging with are not about easy topics, whether it's like frontline healthcare workers or people working with displaced communities, refugee experiences. I'm curious to hear your perspective as a musician about how at this time of really intense political violence in the United States, like what role do you feel that documentary films play? What's your reflections on that at this time?
I mean, there's never been I think a more important time for I mean, you just you see all over the world what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Sudan, what's, it's just like, you know, the biggest threat to the powers that be, people that wish to use brutality, intimidation, to squash hope, is to make people feel profoundly alone. And in this age of hyper connectivity with the digital spheres, to make so much noise, so much to basically cloud the texture of verisimilitude of like that can you actually, what you see, is it actually real? You know, the weapons of those that wish to crush our hope and leave us into a cycle of disengagement and apathy. unfettered humanity, and the ways in which that really good documentary filmmaking can connect us to the world. It is an enemy of those that wish to control. And also, on the flip side of it, manipulative filmmaking is a weapon too. So I really choose carefully to work with people that it's beyond the realm of commerce of making a film or lily padding to the next opportunity. It's like people telling these stories because they have to. They have to, and they would do so by themselves, and whether or not they have a big production studio or if it's them alone in their bedroom editing, you know, taking out loans or whatever, living off of credit card debt to make it, you know, it doesn't matter to me. It's like the story is what pulls me in, and that the sense of integrity of that, like, you have to do right by the people that are sharing with the story with you. It's a scary time for documentary filmmaking. You know, some of the most talented human beings I know right now, Stefan, they just have not shot things in 4 or 5 months. ITVS, which is a huge supporter of independent documentary filmmaking, has been largely defunded. PBS, you know, being their federal funding being slashed. A lot of the false flag corporate banners that have bolstered and supported documentary filmmakers. There was a boom of opportunities for documentary filmmakers, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, probably 6 years ago now at this point. And it was a bubble, and it was bolstered by a lot of corporations saying, it's like, oh, we see value in this, branded content, all of these things. And so a lot of these filmmakers would be able to, you know, help support their next piece of filmmaking by doing, you know, kind of innocuous verite bits that tell a story that it's like, you know, a corporation gets to do a little bit of philanthropy and have it well documented. But I see a lot of these things collapsing, and you know, a lot of massive amounts of furloughs of where people that have these skills as exquisite shooters and documentary filmmakers, those jobs are shrinking. So I really do fear for a lot of journalists. And it's so important that whatever the next iteration of how journalists can support themselves, how filmmakers making challenging, complex, social issue driven films, whatever the new frontier for it is that it's that a sort of kind of populist community based sort of circling around and honoring the value of people that are willing to frontline themselves in these issues, it just has to be thought of as a true invaluable public good. Because I really worry for the state of journalism of, and that's why you see these people with camera being targeted. And so, I mean, just the number of journalists killed in 2025 alone, and Gaza is just, it should really have anyone that thinks of themselves as a storyteller, as a journalist, they should just be utterly enraged and disgusted. And that I don't see that is really made me question a lot of what is it the core of like, you know, have people gotten lost really that far that this doesn't just set off all the alarms?
I mean, it's really like critical moment in terms of this sort of direct targeting of media makers and journalists in a space like Gaza in Palestine, or also in Sudan, you mentioned that. But also people are trying to use those tools to sound the alarm to the world. Then in the U.S. context, you see this attack on public media that you mentioned, which I think is definitely going to change the landscape of how these types of stories are shared. And, you know, I think that this point about the attack on public media in the U.S., I don't know if people understand how that filters down and impacts, you know, creative communities, like how much, you know, social progress in the United States is inherently historically connected to having public media. You know, I think it'd be interesting for people to hear your thoughts on that.
So from the window that I can really, I have a number of friends, you know, I'm coming up on 15 years now of volunteering at the UC Berkeley School of Journalism, helping students with music, music law, many facets of what it takes to be able to get music for, you know, kind of micro budget documentary films. And so I've seen a lot of journalists from all over the world come to this program, come through Stanford, come through, it's just my particular community in the Bay Area. But a tremendous number of the people I've worked with, would be considered extraordinary students, of people in their, oftentimes in their 30s, sometimes 40s, that have been on a beat, that have done the gruntiest and most thankless kind of journalism for years and years and years and years. What, you know, it's kind of incredible to me how exceptional so many of these people are and what value they hold onto exceptional degree of research and merit in merit in actually truth seeking. And if you even step foot into the disgusting kind of tepid waters of social media and the way that language of sort of inciting rage and disdain and hatred for those that put so much on the line and invest so much of themselves in seeking the truth. And again, there are so many bad faith actors, you know. I mean, you know, the conflict of interest that's been allowed to steep in Western journalism because of shadow money, basically, it's unreal, the conflict of interest that's allowed to exist in media channels. But that is just a very, very loud surface populace of, I wouldn't even consider those people journalists. You know, there are actors, there are propagandists, there are, and for them to be, you know, considered journalists when there are, you know, millions of people that what they put, the veracity and courage that they show it's like they're indefatigable, they're inexhaustible will to seek truth. And those are the people I see really, really fucking struggling. It's just it feels pretty bleak, to be honest with you. I know that things course correct, but it does feel like there is two things happening that, you know, independent journalism had to make some strange bedfellows to subsist in this kind of stage of late capitalism. And I feels like a lot of, you know, like if you take money from Amazon or any of these places that it's just like, oh, we want to have a separate wing of all of these things, you know, or people in the podcast space doing any sort of left-leaning or non, you know, non-compatible kind of neoliberal centrist material, you know, if they would even be platformed on something like that, it would feel like this outlier. And it's, oh, wow, this is really incredible. This seems like they actually do intend to not meddle in the storytelling. But I'm seeing a lot of those kind of promises be broken with no consequence now. And a lot of these storytellers are really relying on crowdfunding, Substack. It feels crazy to me. It feels crazy to me that people that really, like, they represent the finest in you know, exerting empathy and really taking risk for their fellow man, that to have to grovel along with people that are unscrupulous. So I had not. I wish I had a clearer read of how things can get better. But I just do know that you see in Gaza what these people that have continued to film, you know, and continue pushing and working when it's like they see their mothers, their children being slaughtered, and they still stand in front of that camera, and it's just like if. In those conditions, people can keep fighting and being a voice. Then, you know, here in the United States, it's just like, fuck, we should be able to power through anything. You know, it's like I just think people will find a way to tap into a greater courage, and there will be some clarity.
Couple things on what you mentioned. The first is just responding to what you just said, which is this clamping down that we've seen since October 2023, where, like, people who are maybe lifted, you know, due to very meaningful work within the cultural sphere or within documentary film, you know, ascending to certain positions in museums or universities, this is under attack in the United States, this sort of representation. And on a sort of corporate side of that, especially in museums, at least here in Canada, some who have, like, some corporate funding, people have just been removed from their positions. Indigenous folks, black voices who weren't silent about Palestine. You know, there's examples in Toronto, the Art Gallery of Ontario, very important cultural space in Canada. You know, there's many examples, and so it's this moment where it seems like what you're describing, Will, about looking to more extreme contexts and people still finding a way to tell their stories is important. Having your take as a musician who's really tuned into the emotional side of how stories are shared in films, and that really comes through in your compositions, both as a solo artist on your albums, tuned into the emotional state of the world, but in your work for films, I can really hear the empathy in what you create. So it's lovely to have your thoughts today.
That was a conversation with William Ryan Furch. I encourage you to look up William's work. Thanks for the conversation. I'm Stefan Christoph, and this has been another edition of Free City Radio. We broadcast weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., on CGLO 1690 a.m., also in Montreal on Wednesdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m., on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m., on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 a.m., on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m., on CJSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Thursdays at 4:30 p.m. on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. We're also a podcast. Look us up. Just search Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will